السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، قال الله تعالى: إن النذرة سهم من سهام إبليس مسموم، من تركها مخافتي أبدلتها إيمانا يجد حلاوته، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته.
We have mentioned time and time again that the spiritual center of one's body is the heart. A person has a physical heart, and the physical heart is also central to the body. That is why the pulse is the marker of the person being alive. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each person a spiritual heart. And just like the physical heart is central to the body, if a person, his heart, his physical heart is weak, it has some defect, then this person's health will always be up and down. It will always be fragile. And if the heart is strong, then that is the base for health, for a healthy body, for a strong body. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the spiritual heart the same status in a person's spiritual health and a person's dini condition. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith that Allah, he says Allah, and in Arabic Allah is used to grab someone's attention, to tell them that what I am about to tell you is extremely important, listen carefully. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Allah, he's telling the sahaba radiallahu anhu that listen very carefully. Inna fil jasadi la mudgha, in the body there is a piece of flesh, a part. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ, when this part becomes healthy, spiritually healthy, then the whole body becomes spiritually healthy. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ, and when it becomes unhealthy, when it is unhealthy, فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ, the entire body becomes spiritually unhealthy. أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ, listen very carefully, this is the heart. And if a person does not understand this concept, then he will never be able to truly progress in deen. If I give you a very simple example, you will understand. A person, he is ill. He has caught a virus. And the various symptoms of the virus, he gets a temperature. He feels nauseous. He is getting aches. Now if this person thinks to himself that I have a fever, so the solution to the fever is I need to have this medicine. And I am feeling nauseous, so usually the solution for feeling nauseous is this medicine. And I have a backache, so the solution for this is this medicine. If he goes to the doctor will tell him, your approach is incorrect. You are treating the symptoms. These are all symptoms that have come about because you caught a virus. What we really need to do is we need to identify the virus. And after we have identified the virus, take the appropriate course of medication, the appropriate course of treatment. If the virus goes, then the symptoms follow. And if the virus remains, then curing the symptoms is a futile struggle. They will carry on, they will keep coming back. It is the same thing here. If a person works on his heart, and he makes the heart healthy, then that is the then his whole dini condition will become strong. And whilst the condition, the spiritual health of the heart is weak, then a person will always struggle in deen. That is why, from the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those people who are genuinely interested and who genuinely wanted to progress in deen, they always paid attention to this. That my heart becomes spiritually strong. They paid attention to this. They used to take guidance from learned people how to do it, and they would go out of their way and make a very large effort to do it. Even great, great ulama of the past. See, this is something extremely important to understand. A person gains knowledge. Knowledge shows a person the path. Knowledge shows a person the path that what does he need to do. When a person knows the path to Jannah, then he must walk that path. And knowing the path does not mean you have the ability to walk the path. A person can have a very high level of knowledge, but it is not necessary that practice comes into his life. Shaykhul Hadith is Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah, a very great alim of the past, very well known. His Fadail al-Amal is read in many, many masajid, many thousands of masajid. He was also a very great Shaykh, a very great spiritual mentor. And many people would come to become his spiritual patients, his murids. And amongst them were many ulama as well, many scholars as well. So, when a person gets connected to a sheikh, to a spiritual mentor, then from time to time he informs the spiritual mentor of his spiritual condition. Just like the doctor. If you are ill and you go to the doctor, then the doctor will ask you, what are your symptoms, etc. Or you will tell him. The doctor will give you some medication and he will say that try this for 1 month, for 2 months, for 4 weeks. And then after that, come back and report. Has it improved? Is it fully improved? Is there still some symptoms? So communications happen back and forth. And the more complex the illness or the more illnesses the person has, the more communication is needed. So in spiritual matters, it is the same thing. When a person gets connected to a sheikh, a spiritual mentor, then regular communication occurs or it should occur. And in the communication, the patient says that I have this problem, I have this spiritual illness. This sin in my life is not going away. You told me to do this, but I am struggling with it. And the patient will say good news as well, that you told me to do this, and alhamdulillah, I have been doing it for the last 2 months. So, these letters of the patient writing to the sheikh, and the sheikh replying, especially the replies of the sheikh, they have a lot of knowledge within them. If a person has the understanding to read them, then he will realize they are extremely beneficial. They are extremely beneficial. And this is when a person becomes a spiritual patient of someone, then he is going there to that person because he feels that this person is learned in this field. And he is guiding me so that I can gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can remove the disobedience of Allah from my life and gain his pleasure. So this person has come to reach the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. And he is thinking that this person will be able to guide me. So because this person has come to reach the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Because of the sincerity of his intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time and time, he inspires the shaykh and the spiritual mentor with new methods to guide the person, to make the path easy for a person. The path is the same, but to walk the path, to make the path easy for a person. Once, Qari Siddiq Bandwi Sahib rahmatullah, a very great alim and a very great sheikh of the path, one of his murids, spiritual patients, wrote to him. And he wrote to him that, I am a teacher in the Darul Uloom, in the madrasa. We just mentioned that a person gains the high level of knowledge, that does not even mean that he will be able to practice the murid. So he said that I am a teacher in the Darul Uloom. I am a teacher in the Darul Uloom. And I stay there as well. I board there as well. And there are a few other teachers who board in the Darul Uloom with me. So every single day, at night time, at free time, the two or three teachers, my age, similar age to me, young teachers, they come into my room for a chat. And almost every day they end up doing someone's ghiba. They end up doing someone's ghiba, which is a very great sin. Ghiba is saying something about someone which you know they would dislike. This is not the point of discussion, but it deserves mention. Because this is extremely common. And the reason it is extremely common is that we don't even think it is anything wrong. If as part of a normal conversation we start talking about someone and I mention something ill about him, the people who are listening to me, it will not even register to them. To the speaker it will definitely learn. But even the people who are listening, it will not even register to them that he's doing something very wrong. He's doing something very wrong. Whereas it is extremely wrong. The ruling of ghiba is that doing ghiba is impermissible, except in certain limited circumstances, where there is a necessity, etc. Let me give you some examples so you understand what a necessity means. Someone comes to you and he says that I am wanted to make a transaction with so-and-so person, buy a car from him. I'm wanting to buy a car from this place, from this business, or from this person. So, do you know him? Is he trustworthy? And I know he isn't trustworthy. I have had past experience with him. So now, in this case, it is permissible for me to do his riba. But stay away from that person because he is not trustworthy, he may cheat you. So in certain necessary circumstances like that, riba is permissible, otherwise it is not permissible. I often mention this incident. I'm telling you how light this sin has become. Some sins are major, but they have become light. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once walking somewhere, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's horse became, or his camel, whichever animal he was on, it became somewhat perturbed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given animals, He lets animals hear certain things which humans don't. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that when a good person is taken to the graveyard, when a good person is being taken to the graveyard, then whilst he is being taken to the graveyard, he tells the people. What does he tell the people? That take me quickly. Take me as quick as you can. But this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this voice with which he says that take me quickly, ajiluni. Every single makhluk of Allah ta'ala hears it except the human and the jinn. Otherwise the birds which are flying there, any animals, they can hear it. And in the same way, when a person is being taken to the graveyard and he is an irreligious person, so he has an idea that there is punishment waiting for me in the grave, then he says, where are you taking me? He tells the people that, where are you taking me? You're going to destroy me. But of course the people cannot hear this. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that every makhluk other than the human and the jinn can hear it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given animals the ability to hear certain things which humans cannot as well. So the horse or camel of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going. And it becomes suddenly perturbed. Sahaba radiallahu anhu are there as well. They see this. They wonder what is going on. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turns to a sahaba and he says that there are two graves nearby. And both people in the graves are being punished. And the horse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the animal Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it the ability to sense this or maybe hear hear what is going on. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that وَمَا يُعَذِّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ بَلْ هُوَ كَبِيرٌ. They are not being punished for anything major, for anything of a big deal. They are not being punished for anything major. And then he said, rather it is major. So he said, they are not being punished for anything major. And then he stopped and then he said, rather it is major. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mean? So the ulama mentioned multiple meanings, but one meaning of this sentence, the ulama said, that they are not being punished for anything major means that what they are being punished for was a major sin. But they didn't think it was a big deal. They thought it was no big deal. We're doing it. We're performing our salah. If someone even in the lifetime may have, you know, drawn their attention to them, they brush it aside. It's not an important part of deen. If they even, so they didn't think it was major, but it was major in the eyes of Allah. Ghiba is an example of that. In our communities, it is not. No one thinks it is a big deal, but it is extremely serious in the eyes of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, Al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. Ghiba is more severe than zina. Why he deemed it more severe than zina, that is a different topic which we are not going into. So I was saying that the ruling of ghiba is that if someone does ghiba in front of you, then you have a few options. You have a few options. Listen to this carefully, because we all come across this circumstance. You have a few options. The best option is to stop the person. Because if you stop the person, then you will stay away from sin, he will stay away from sin. Tell him that, you know what, leave it. Why should we do someone's ghibah? Doing someone's ghibah? Why should we talk about other people? No benefit in talking about other people's faults. What if a person doesn't have the courage to do that? Then change the topic in some other way. Change the topic in some other way. There is a great alim in the UK called Hazrat Mawla Islam al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the first Shaykh al-Hadith of Darul Ulum Deoband. Darul Ulum Deoband, the first Darul Ulum in the UK. And the first Shaykh al-Hadith, meaning the first senior most teacher of that Darul Ulum, was Hazrat Mawla Islam al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He has passed away, but the first few years to graduate from Darul Ulum Deoband, he taught them from Darul Ulum Bari. It was known about him that he was very, very strict in matters of ghibah. And if in his presence, the guests there or the people there, it looked like they were going in the direction of talking about a person, he would quickly change the topic. Bring the tea, where is the tea? Or something else. So it's not that hard to change the topic. Oh, but look at the time, I must be getting... Yes? So, best option, stop the person. If you feel you cannot, then do some other method, change the topic. And the minimum you must do is if you cannot do either one of the two, you must leave. Make some excuse if you want to, but you must leave. If you don't do this, then you are part of the sin. So I was saying that the Shaykh, a spiritual mentor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires the spiritual mentor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires the spiritual mentor. So Qais Siddiq Bandi rahmatullahi alayhi, he's an alim, wrote to him that I am boarding in the Darul Ulum. These other teachers who teach there, they come to my room, and they always end up doing ghibah of someone. And I very much dislike it, but I don't have the courage to say to them that, you know what, stop. You know what, stop. So he said, what should I do? How do I get away from this? So Qais Siddiq Sahib Rahmatullah wrote to him, the next time they come to your room, as the conversation is beginning, tell them that, look, today I read something extremely beneficial in a book, in a kitab. The teachers in the boarding, but in the Darul Ulum. So he said, you know what, I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it to you. So he said, when they come in, then do that, and start reading and keep reading. These people have come for a chit-chat to do someone's ghibah. They're not interested in listening to a book being read. So he said, do this for a few days and soon you'll realize that they don't even come to your room anymore. That is exactly what happened. So I was saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides the shaykh, the spiritual mentor. And that is why his replies to his spiritual patients are extremely beneficial. They contain many gems inside. So after a shaykh passes away, then quite often his letters are published without names, because of course they contain many illnesses of a person. So the names are removed of the spiritual patients, but the letters are published. The spiritual patient writes this in reply. This is written. So the letters of Hazrat Shaykh Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and an alim, a scholar who was his spiritual patient, they've been published. And the scholar, I happen to know who it is, but his name is not published, but someone informed, and he's a very high level scholar. It is, at the moment, this person is one of the senior most scholars in the not in the UK, in the world. But in one of his letters he wrote to Shaykh al-Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah, this is when he is an alim, that sometimes my Fajr Salah gets missed. What do you understand? That knowledge alone shows you the path. To walk upon the path, you need to have the spiritual strength. That is extremely important to understand. That is why from day one, people made it a point to make the heart, to strengthen the heart, to make the heart spiritually strong. And they made it a point to adopt those means which make this easier for a person. My actual intention today, it was to come on to another topic. But we'll just mention the introduction to that topic, and then that topic we'll mention in next week. Which is that we have understood that making the heart spiritually strong is extremely important. And for this, there are many means. Inshallah, we will take them one by one and mention them in detail. For example, adopting pious company is an extremely beneficial means, because if there is nur in one person's heart, then it rubs off onto the people around him. So adopting pious company, good company, is extremely beneficial. And the stronger the pious company, the better. If a person can gain the company of a person who is a special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is extremely valuable. And in general, day-to-day life as well, a person should make a point to adopt the company of people who to his best, he understands that they are good. They have a religious mindset. They encourage good, they don't encourage evil. That is one thing that strengthens a person's heart spiritually. Another thing that strengthens a person's heart spiritually, I'm just touching on this, because these are not the point, is carrying out the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever the form it may be, whether it is the tilawah of the Quran, tasbihat, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, durood sharif, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, astaghfirullah. Masnoon du'as with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, leave in the masjid, enter in the masjid, Allahumma aftahli abaaba rahmatik, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fadlik, before eating, bismillahi wa barakatillah, after eating, alhamdulillah, alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana minal muslimin. But the key, when it comes to dhikr, is if you want to gain spiritual strength through dhikr, then you must do it regularly. You must do it regularly. And this is extremely easy to understand. Because if a person wants to become physically fit, and he goes to a gym today, and then after 2 weeks he goes to a gym again. He walks, he goes for a walk today in the morning, goes for a jog, and then the next day, I don't feel like it. After 3 days, tell him, let me go again. He will not gain the desired result. You must do something with regularity. So if a person, he wants to become physically fit again, and he finds a trainer, the trainer will tell him that, okay, start with a jog. But it must be done every day. Okay, at the moment, can you jog for 1 hour? You'll never be able to do now. So start with 20 minutes, but you must do it every day. You must be regular. And then afterwards, we'll increase. Regularity is extremely important. Regularity is extremely important in becoming physically fit. It is the same in becoming spiritually fit. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one must do with regularity. Initially, the amount does not have to be a large amount. Tilawah of the Quran, initially, if a person can do one juz of the Quran, alhamdulillah. So he finishes one khatam of the Quran every month. But if a person feels that is too much, then start with one quarter. A person feels that is too much, start with one page, but it must be regular. Regularity is key. My teacher and Sheikh Hazim Mawlana Salim Dorat Sahib Hafidullah, he gives this very simple example. He says that if you have a stone, if you have a rock, and you have 100 liters of water in a container, and you turn it upside down on the rock, the rock will be wiped clean, but there will not be any mark, any damage on the rock because of the water. Nothing. But if instead you place that water in the container above the rock and you put a tiny hole so that drop by drop the water can hit the rock, then sooner or later a mark will come on the rock where the water drips. So the dhikr, when it is done regularly, the drops of dhikr, even if there are drops meaning not a very large amount, but even if it is drops of dhikr, it must happen regularly. As long as those drops keep coming, then sooner or later the heart will increase in spiritual strength. So this is one thing. This is not the topic of discussion today. We are just touching upon it with sufficient detail that if a person wants to start amal, then he can. And the third thing which a person should do to strengthen his heart spiritually is think about death and the hereafter. Remember death, remember the hereafter. On a daily basis, alhamdulillah, not on a weekly basis, take out some time, think about it, think, I am going to leave this world soon. I will have to go in the grave. I will be questioned in the grave. Then on the day of judgment, I will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will be questioned. I will have to go over a very thin bridge which spans over Jahannam. And it is only my deeds that will help me to go over. Think from time to time. These are things that strengthen a person's heart spiritually. Every good deed strengthens a person's heart spiritually, but some things, the things we have mentioned here, they are extremely beneficial. The topic at hand today was that there are some forms of the disobedience, every form of the disobedience of Allah harms a person spiritually. But there are some forms of the disobedience of Allah which are extremely harmful, which are extremely harmful to one's spirituality. They make progress very difficult. And one is the misuse of the eyes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ النَّذْرَ تَسَهْمٌ مِّن سِهَامِ إِبْلِيسَ مَسْمُو. The glance which is against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is an arrow from the poisonous arrows of shaitan. What does this mean? If a person is hit by an ordinary arrow, he is hit in the arm will become wounded. If the wound is severe, then it may be decided that this arm is useless. Get rid of it. The arrow has caused too much damage in the arm. It must be removed. But the rest of the body will continue to function. But if an arrow is laced with poison, it may cause a shallow wound. But soon, very soon, the poison will spread in the whole body, and the whole body will be affected. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that this misuse of the eyes, it is a sin of the eyes. It is a sin of the eyes. But the spiritual condition of the whole body is affected, because it is a poisonous arrow, and the poison spreads in the whole body. It's the whole, the spiritual condition of the whole body is affected. When the whole spiritual condition of the whole body is affected, definitely the spiritual condition of the heart will be affected. So, this is one sin which a person should especially pay attention to. The ulama of the past have said that spiritual progress is pretty much impossible if a person does not stay away from this sin. And on the other hand, some great mashayikh like Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah, he said that in our time, if a person gets this sin under control, then he will very quickly climb the ranks of wilayah and the special friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will very quickly become a complete mu'min. So a person's aim should be to stay away from every sin, because every sin has a detrimental effect on the heart. But in particular, stay away from the control, from the misuse of the eyes. And this was the topic of today's discussion. But we will touch upon it in detail next week. How does a person do this? What can a person do this? But the most important thing is, which must happen, is that a person must force himself. A person must eat the bitter pill. And it will definitely feel difficult. That is the most important thing. That a person must fight. He must force himself. He must feel that I can't do it, even though I am failing. Even though I am failing again, I can't do it. And he must force himself. If he fails once, after doing Tawbah, he must force himself the second time. Until that doesn't happen, then everything we mention next week will be of no avail. This is the backbone, that a person must force himself to stay away from it. And initially it feels very bitter. But when it comes to the rectification of the heart, whenever you begin the effort, it is always the most difficult. And when you start the effort, let's say a person, we will end with this, let's say a person, he before he was misusing his eyes 10 times a day. And none of the 10 times he was making an effort. None of the 10 times he was doing Tawbah. It is making his heart weaker and weaker. And now let's say he starts. And 1 out of 10 times a day, he's successful. The other 9 times he tries but he fails. Now, in contrast to a darkness, a small amount of nur is being created in the heart. The small amount of nur will make it that sooner or later, it will become 2 times out of 10. And if he carries on making effort, if he adopts the other methods which strengthen his heart, then slowly but surely he will reach a situation where his heart will become strong enough that he is able to, 10 times out of 10, he is able to stay away from this disobedience. But a person must make it an objective to stay away from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to practice upon, to stay away from every disobedience of his, and in particular to stay away from the misuse of the eyes. آمين واخوذ الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك like we mentioned last week as well, the two points which we mentioned at the end of last week are worth mentioning every week, so we'll mention them. The first is that a person, if he hasn't begun the preparation for Ramadan, he should, and if he has begun, then he should try his best to increase it. And the second thing which we mentioned last week is that a person should continue making dua for the condition of all the Muslims around the whole globe, and in particular the condition of the Muslims in Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq.